It's an article by a female named Alexa Michaela, and the title of the article is "Researchers have followed over 700 people since 1938 to find the keys to happiness. Here's what they discovered." I'm not gonna read the whole article. I'll just, you know, read a couple of things that, all right. The beginning of it says, if you was on a train ride, what would you rather? What would you rather, sit next to somebody, a stranger, and have a conversation, or put your headphones on and zone out? Which one do you think most people would choose? Most people would choose to put the headphones on and zone out, right? Dude just wrote a book. The name of his book is called The Good Life. And this article can be found in Fortune. Say his book uses the question to illustrate how we expect social interactions to be negative based on the uncertainty that comes with connection. It says, we seem particularly bad at forecasting the benefits of relationships. A big part of this is obvious. Is an obvious fact that relationships can be messy and unpredictable. This messiness is somewhat what prompts many of us to prefer being alone. What makes people find happiness? From a study beginning in 1938, following the lives of 724 Harvard students and low-income boys from Boston, in the world's longest scientific study of happiness to date, according to the researchers. The ongoing study, which has expanded to include the spouses and children of the original participants, consists of over 2,000 people. So this, you know, this ain't no small study. This thing went on for a long time. It says the researchers gathered their health records every 5 years, conducted DNA tests along the way, received questionnaires about their lives and well-being every 2 years. Roughly every 15 years, the researchers met with the participants in person for an interview. The researchers followed the participants' lives in hopes of finding the key to happiness and found that it wasn't, in fact, good health. What? Huh. The key to happiness was not good health? I'm going to skip down before I tell you the answer. It says, when the participants in the happiness study were asked how they overcome adversity, illness, war memories, and losses, their connections was always remained the cornerstone of hope in their lives. It says, as they aged, the participants who shared regrets mainly bemoaned how little time they spent with their family and friends and how much they cared. And how much they cared about the seemingly trivial. What is the trivial? Success and money. What? So let me go back up to the top. One thing instead became irrefutable. Do you know what irrefutable means? Do you know what irrefutable means? What is irrefutable? Irrefutable.
Here's the definition of irrefutable. Impossible to deny or disprove.
Impossible to deny or disprove. Irrefutable. The one thing irrefutable that predicts happiness? Strong relationships. Strong relationships most accurately predicted people's happiness throughout their lives. They are intrinsic to everything we do and everything we are. Can you believe that? Then it says, it's not that accomplishments isn't important or satisfying, but when we sacrifice our relationships, that's when we end up regretting it and living a life that isn't good as we might have it. Right? So what, isn't that interesting, Mental? The key to happiness is not how high you rise in success and all that. It's that person that lent you $20 when you was down and out. It's that person that helped you out. That's the shit you remember. That's the shit that's meaningful. Can I say people, we all stuck on 7 energy, sacrificing for relationships. Is sacrificing relationships worth the price of success? Is sacrificing relationships the price of success? This ain't in the article. This is, you know, as I was reading, don't that trip you out to come to find out, you know, it's not about the bank account and the title, Mr. No Name. It's about the connections or lack thereof. But now the question is, can we improve our relationships? We can improve relationships if you make relationships a priority. You can improve relationships if you make relationships a priority. And what relationships should you make a priority, and which relationships should you let go of? Well, there's an easy way to tell which ones will you should hold on to and make a priority, and the ones you should let go. The relationships that energize you, you should hold on to. The relationships that drain you, in my Teddy Pendergrass voice, you know you better let them go. Looks like another love TKO. We have to make efforts to improve the relationships. But as we grow and change, as you grow and change, so will your vibe. And as you grow and change and your vibe, as you grow and change and so does your vibe, do you think your tribe will stay the same, or do you think your tribe will change with your vibe? Which is true, depending on if your tribe changes with you, changes along with you, you know. If your tribe wants to go along for the ride, then so be it. But what if they resist you? You know what I mean? I was talking about this earlier, but and we're talking about relationships and stuff like that. When it comes to relationships, can you give help? Can you give and receive help? You know, and I was talking about this earlier, but I don't have a problem giving help. But I do struggle with receiving help, man. And some of the reason why, you have to ask yourself, if you're someone who struggles to receive help, why? Right? And the answer is, to receive help, you got to admit and allow yourself to be vulnerable. And nobody likes to be vulnerable. But in all actuality, yeah, being vulnerable allows more deeper connections. Allow people to connect deeper, more deeper bonds when you are allow yourself to be vulnerable with somebody, which is contrary to belief. And being vulnerable also opens up and makes way for true, genuine connections. You know what the most, you know what the most valuable thing you can give to someone mental?
Would it be your time?
Yes, but even more valuable than that. You have to be giving this person your time. Do what?
The freedom for them to be themselves.
Actually, the most precious thing you can give somebody is your full attention. Listening without the need to jump in. Can you believe that the most precious thing that you can give someone is your full attention? You know, people be asking me, man, how I be remembering all this stuff and all that. It's because I'm giving them my full attention. I'm present with them as they telling me this stuff. So if you present and you giving somebody your full attention, do you think that'll be hard to remember what they say? Could you say you listening to understand and not listening to respond?
One can look at it like that.
You know, in this article, they used the word. I was like, I didn't never heard this. Social fitness. Social fitness is the ability to take stock of your relationships and work on them through time. Which ones energize you? Who do you appreciate? And how can you incorporate them into your life in new ways? Do you want to make new connections? Even the people we consider close friends can begin to slide down the priority list as we age. That's an interesting comment because, you know, you think we gotta, you hear people make that comment. That's my oldest friend. You know how long we've been friends? Let me ask you this. Do you think technology helps or hurts when it comes to happiness?
It hurts.
Why?
Because when it comes to technology, it in a way takes away not the ability, but people realizing that the function of thinking for themselves is still an option. They rely on technology too much. It's making them lazy in a way.
You're not wrong. Actually, it's both. It can help and hurt because say someone is lonely. How could they find somebody? Using technology. But like you said, technology also can be bad because technology can lead to depression as far as you're looking at false glimpses of happiness and you start thinking, why not me? It should be me. And sometimes you don't even realize you're sitting up there looking at them doing, saying, you should be me. It ain't really them either. They just acting. They asked a bunch of people toward the end of their life, right? Toward the end of their life. And they said, as they aged, the participants who shared regrets mainly bemoaned how little time they spent with family and friends and how much they cared about the seemingly trivial. What's the trivial? Success and money. When I clicked on the article, I didn't think that's what it was going to say. Right? That was the last thing I was expecting. Them to say, the key to happiness is strong relationships. Oh, even over health. Even over good health. Strong relationships trump good health. Miss going to the gym every week. Well, in all actuality, man, what I've been talking about actually has something to do with the new moon, right? I know you say, well, what do you mean this has something to do with the new moon? Well, the new moon is in the sign of Capricorn, which is your stellium. And the new moon is on the 30th. December 30th. It's happening at 9 degrees Capricorn. The reason why this is connected with, I'm connecting what we were talking about with the new moon is because the moon is in detriment in Capricorn. Moon is not really comfortable in Capricorn. Capricorn is the opposite sign of its rulership. The moon rules Cancer. Cancer is opposite Capricorn. Right? What was this article about? Happiness. Happiness or lack thereof. With this new moon being in Capricorn and the moon being in detriment in Capricorn, it had me starting to think about, you know, what could have someone unhappy and stuff like that, you know? In Capricorn, Capricorn is an earth sign. It's cardinal earth. In Capricorn, a lot of times it's connected to tradition. Things that's old, you know? And Capricorn is also connected with authority. And so when I was thinking about this new moon in Capricorn, I was thinking, what knowledge and tradition that you are emotionally tied to that could actually be a source of emotional pain? This is all the stuff that, yeah, I was going on when I was, you know, read that article and I sent that shit to you. After I read the article, these are, you know, things that, you know, I started thinking about after that. You know, Capricorn, if you think about Capricorn is about authority. And what is authority about? It's about respect. And new moon's about the sun and the moon being together. And the sun, and so it got me thinking about self-sacrificing and losing self-respect. And new moon's about, you know, planting seeds of intention and all that, right? And so I started thinking, all right, with this new moon in Capricorn, if you're not unhappy, why? And this should be, you need to figure out why you are unhappy, and this should be planting a seed to come out of that. Find your happiness. And if I think about the moon is emotions, and some of this stuff that you tie to could be having you feeling emotionally insecure, emotionally unstable, emotionally lost because you don't feel like you have any Capricorn direction, any Capricorn goal, or any Capricorn purpose, working and striving for something. One of the things that stood out to me about this new moon is that, you know, Mars and Pluto, Mars is still going to be retrograde in Leo, and it's 1 degree away from being back into the opposition with Pluto, which is, you could pretty much say it's the energy is there because of it's in within 3 degree engagement, right? Pluto, the planet of transformation, death and regeneration, Mars, the planet of war. But this Mars, not only is this Mars going to be in a supporting aspect with the South Node, with the North Node, right? The Mars is going to be trying to the North Node at 1 degree, which means that North Node and the Pluto are sextile each other at 1 degree. Fire to air. The North Node at 1 degree Aries, Pluto 1 degree Aquarius, a sextile, right? That's supporting. So the North Node is getting supporting energy from Pluto in Aries, which it's also getting energy from Mars, from the trine. With this new moon, right? So, and the nodes are pretty much about to change. So we had the last hurrah of the nodes being North Node being in Aries, South Node being in Libra. And Mars is actually, it's exalted in Capricorn, but it's not aspected, really. This Mars is what they call in aversion, kind of like a blind spot to this Capricorn stuff. But with that being said, the one last thing that does stand out to me is Mercury is also going to be trying to the Chiron, the wounded healer. So what does all that mean? You know, this is planting seeds. And I look at the Mars opposition to Pluto and Leo. It's about getting back to happiness. What would be make you happy? To be able to be authentically and truly yourself, right? Aquarius, Leo. To be able to do that within side relationships, the nodes from Libra to Aries, you need to, that Mars energy, have more courage to be authentically yourself. You need to have more courage to be able to walk away from tradition and people who have been authority figures in your life. Hell, family members, right? And it also comes with, and Mercury, like I said, it comes to beliefs, Mercury in Sagittarius. Beliefs, higher learning, healing, Chiron, healing your thoughts on yourself. What are the things that emotionally put you in detriment? What are the things and the people who emotionally bring you down, make you drain your energy? By the way, the other thing The other thing that also stands out, I almost forgot, is this Saturn and Jupiter square, right? And Saturn is the ruler of this new moon, being that it's in Capricorn, right? Wait, the new moon's in Capricorn. Saturn's in Pisces, but Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn. So the Saturn in Pisces, and what is Pisces? Dreams, illusions, delusions. And I was just talking about being authentically yourself and or not. And if you haven't been authentically yourself, you've been putting out this illusion to the world, this fake image of yourself. And then I guess from there, you got to ask yourself why. And just to add, this is coming off days after the new moon, is days after the Venus Uranus square. Venus, what we love, how we love. Uranus, shocking, unexpected. You know, so could have heard something, did something shocking, unexpected from a loved one. Could have heard something like that. That could have put you in an emotional place. And now it's time to plant a seed. Just in time for the calendar, the new year, New Year's Eve. Planting a seed the day before New Year's Eve, just in time for us to go into a universal 9 year. You know, I find it interesting that I'm talking about unhappiness and all of that stuff, and this new moon being in Capricorn, and if I think about tarot, or Capricorn is the devil card. And if I think about the article, go back to the article. You know how I was talking about the key to happiness and what it said. Well, if you look at the devil card, what is the devil card? You got the devil, but you got two people chained to each other in the card. And I was talking about the key to happiness is your strong relationships. See how it all comes back full circle? Your connections or lack thereof. That's how I was going to connect all this stuff to the new moon energy, baby. That article to this. So, yeah, I've been thinking about all that for a couple of days. Actually, no, it is not. I just got it done.